I have heard mixed reviews this morning about the extra hour of sleep we had last evening. And I certainly would have expected a more robust good morning. And so I'm going to give you another shot at that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes. Thank you, Josh, for your challenge on forgiveness. Isn't it amazing that God chose to remember it no more? Why we can be excited to wake up in the morning and to begin our day. His mercies are new again this morning. Want to welcome each one. It's good to have each of you here. Kareen, welcome to your parents. Haven't had the privilege of meeting you yet, but welcome. It's good to have you here. Josh talked about the sacrifice, the blood. This morning, want to talk about that some more. About how it took blood. This morning, as I was sitting in my office, I heard the words, "This too shall pass." Sure that you have used that before. When you get into something, you say, well, this too shall pass. Either it'll pass or I will pass, but eventually something's going to pass from this situation. How many of you like to be passed over? Of course, it depends, doesn't it? Can depend on the situation about whether we would like to be passed over or not. When we were younger, sometimes playing a game, we would. Maybe the two loudest, biggest guys would either they would be chosen as captains or they would just ordain themselves captain. One would stand there and the other one would stand over there. And they would start choosing up their teams and they would say, I want Josh. And the other one would say, I want the other Josh. And they would go down the line. But what happens if they get down, each one of them has maybe five teammates, and get down to Madison. They would say, well, you know, it's just not your lucky day. You know, you're the last one picked, and the teams are even, and just go sit over there. If we go tell your mother to make us lemonade or something, we'll get thirsty later. Madison feels passed over. But sometimes we're glad when things pass over us. I invite you to turn with me to Exodus, the 12th chapter, as we reflect on the Passover that happened to the children of Israel. This story always caught my attention as a youngster sitting in church and hearing this message preached. Wondered, I would just get so just wrapped up in the story. What would it have been like to live through this, story? Now in verse 1 of Exodus, the 12th chapter, and the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, this month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for the house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, Let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the house wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast it with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus shall ye eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. What a time. Can you imagine a time such as this? That we find the children of Israel in this story. They had come into the land as just a small group of people. Now there were many of them in the land, and they had become enslaved. In verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat on it. We don't have time to go into some of that detail, but as we think of the Passover and why it was so important that they did it exactly how God instructed here, as we see the 10th plague, the final plague here, God setting a precedence here for his people. With bitter herbs they shall eat it. As we think of the price of sin, the sacrifice that it took, and what these bitter herbs represented in this case was slavery, the bitterness of slavery, the bitterness of sin. And the cost of redemption is what I want to really focus on this morning in the few moments that we have together. That sin has a high price. It cost a life. It takes life. It ends life. And here the children of Israel were in slavery. They were enslaved. They had no freedom. And God was making a way for them to be freed. But it was important that they followed his instructions. He instructed them to take a special lamb. It had to be a lamb that was without blemish, their prize lamb, so to speak. And they were to take it on the 10th day. Now, can you imagine taking this lamb out of the flock, this special lamb, the best lamb that they could find, and you take it home? And now on the 14th day, after having this precious little picture with me, this beautiful little lamb. I'm sure you've all seen just a young lamb. They're just so cute, just so fluffy, so beautiful, white, gentle. You know, they frolic around some, but a lamb is gentle. And now on the 14th day, I want to give you a picture of the price of sin, the price of freedom. I can just imagine if I had a lamb and I had it right there by our house for 4 days, that I would have some children that would just, they would fall in love with this lamb and they would hold it. They would give it a name. Make it a pet really quick. This pet little precious lamb. But now on the 14th day, I would take that lamb and I would lay it on a table. I would lay it on its side. And I would put a knife to its throat. And the children would say, "Well, Dad, what are you doing? That's our pet lamb." And I would give that knife a pull. And all at once, there's a red stain on that beautiful white wool. And that lamb would, in just a moment or two, die. I want to give you a picture this morning that freedom didn't come from the life of Christ. It came from His death. God's way was that blood had to be shed. There had to be a shedding of blood. Oh, the price of sin. Redemption. Can you imagine in that time, God was setting things up here for the New Testament. The children of Egypt, or the Egyptians, were not godly people. They were not godly people at all. In fact, some estimate they believe they may have had as many as 2,000 gods. And one of the gods, they would sacrifice their eldest, their infants, they would sacrifice to the gods. What a picture that God was bringing into Egypt and to the children of Israel on redemption. Now, this story may have gripped me more than some, because see, I'm the eldest son in my family. And as I would hear this story preached, I would think, I would put myself in the place of the eldest son. And I could just imagine myself saying, "Dad, are you sure that was the best lamb? Dad, are you sure that you did as you were instructed to? Is there enough blood on the doorpost? Is there enough blood on the lintels?" Pharaoh was a hardened man. He didn't believe and the God of the Israelites. We may get into that a bit. He was a hardened man. But this plague absolutely broke him. The price of freedom, the penalty of sin. As we think of the Lamb that it took for this sacrifice, and what it represented, I want to turn to John, the first chapter. As we see prophecy unfolding, God ordaining a new way, what does the Passover teach us? I often wondered, why did the children of Israel, God's people, why did they have to apply blood? Why did they have to apply blood? Couldn't He send an angel that knew where they lived and where the Egyptians lived? Why did they have to apply blood as well? But as we think of the Israelites and how they in Exodus in a couple chapters before, when Moses went to Pharaoh and he said, "Let my people go," Pharaoh said, "Who's God? I don't know your God. And you're trying to keep the people from working. And you're disrupting. You're causing a disruption." And we know the story where Pharaoh made the children of Israel work even harder. He instructed his men to take away their straw. Quit giving them straw to make bricks. Make them go find their own straw. And so the children of Israel, in making the bricks, their taskmasters demanded that they would make the same amount of bricks they did before with the straw that was provided, having to go out and search for stubble. And if they didn't, they were beaten. And so they came to Moses and they said, "Why have you done this? You've made life harder on us, not easier." And they, in essence, they rejected the messenger that God sent. The children of Israel rejected Moses. And by that, they were rejecting God. In other scripture, it tells us, as Joshua was talking to the children of Israel, much later, he reminded them of when their fathers, the group of people that we're talking about now, had fallen into idolatry. And I want to remind you this morning, as we think of why did the children of Israel have to apply blood? We read in Romans, it tells us that all have sinned. And even though these were God's chosen people, they needed redemption just like the rest of us. The Passover teaches us that all have sinned. It tells us of our substitute, the Lamb that is our substitute. And that's what the father would explain to them. "Son, this Lamb has to die so that you don't have to. Daughter, your precious little pet here, he has to die so your oldest brother doesn't have to." The picture of the Lamb is given throughout Scripture. From the earliest times, Adam and Eve, it took one Lamb per person. Then as time goes on, it was one Lamb per household. And here in certain situations, they could even use it for two households. Later on, it went to a nation. One lamb for a nation. But now here we see something that had never been heard before. In John, the first chapter, in verse 29, the Old Testament foretelling the new. And now here we are in John. Verse 29, the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Can you imagine hearing that news? Behold the Lamb of God, not just for that time, but that there was a Lamb that was perfect, without blemish, that could for all of time take away the sins of the world. Josh brought out very nice this morning. Could it have been different? But God went above and beyond. Went above and beyond in redeeming His people. As we think of the Passover, the feast that is still held by many people, and we remember it, and we'll remember it tonight again. How do we keep that in remembrance? How do we keep that a part of our life? The Passover. In Exodus there, he says that when I see the blood, I will pass over. As we think of how we are to live today, that sacrifice, the perfect Lamb of God was sacrificed. He shed His blood, and yet it will make no difference to you. It won't make no difference to me. To any of us, if we don't accept it, we need to accept it and apply it to our own lives. We've seen the children of Israel, as they were freed from slavery, talking and longing at times to be back in Egypt. Yearning for their own lives. The way that we can honor God, I believe, today in remembering that time is to not yearn for the sins of the past or the life of old, that we live out that redemption. Again, we find the children of Israel, lessons that we can learn, I believe, from the children of Israel, is as they were freed, they were out away from Egypt on their journey, and they fell again into idolatry. And it's a challenge for us to continue to live in freedom, to live under the blood, that when Jesus looks down on us, that He sees that blood applied on our life. Not to go back into bondage the way that the children of Israel at times yearn for. There's a song that I really challenges me. It says, without the Savior, this life is a puzzle of shattered hopes and dreams. Max Lucado had a story. He told a story of a young lady Josh talked about grace this morning. But Max told a story about a mother and daughter, Marie and Christina. Now, Christina, she had a good life, but it was a hard life. She yearned to enjoy the riches of the world. So one morning, or through the night, early in the morning, she slipped away from home. Now, when her mother realized what had happened, she was, of course, heartbroken, because she knew that her daughter had no way of earning a living in the country that they were in. She knew that it wouldn't take long, that her daughter would do anything that it would take to earn food and money. Her heart was broken. She knew her daughter was going to be too proud to just admit defeat and come home. And so Marie went looking for her daughter, Christina. But before she went too far, she stopped. And she got a bunch of photos printed of her face. Marie did. And she went out and searched for her daughter. And as she searched for her daughter, she would place photographs of her face wherever she went, where she thought her daughter may find them. She didn't find her daughter. She went home with a broken heart. Now, Christina thought she was going to find a better life, a life of comfort. It didn't have much from where she came from. But life was hard. She thought she would enjoy having a better bed to sleep in and just enjoying the riches of the world. But it didn't take long that Christina felt broken. Her hopes and dreams were shattered. Oh, she wanted to go home. But in so many ways, that little village seemed way too far. But one day, as she came down the stairs in a motel lobby, something caught her attention. And on the mirror hanging on the wall was a small photo of her mother. Her chest and throat tightened, but she made her way over there and picked it off. She pulled it off. And on the back of that, her mother had written to her daughter. That she didn't care what she had done, what a mess she had made of her life. But just please come home. Christina went home. Josh talked about the grace of God. What wonderful grace it is. So undeserving. That God has made a way. That the blood can be applied. That when He looks at your life and at my life, that we can be perfected through the blood of Jesus. He doesn't see our sins, our broken past. God is still calling us to accept and experience His life-changing grace. Isaiah, the first chapter, just read verse 19 here, or I'm sorry, in start in verse 14. He says, "Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are a trouble unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when ye spread forth your hands, I will hide mine eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doing from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red, they shall be as wool." Now here he wasn't condemning their worship. He was condemning them because they were superficial. They were just going through the motions. That's not why God sent His precious Son, His precious Lamb, to die and shed His blood. He says, "Wash you, make you clean." Now we know we can't do that ourselves. But that repentance leads to the cross. He was saying here, your superficial worship, you're just doing it as a ritual. It's not changing your life. You don't really, you haven't experienced what I want you to experience. He says, "Come now and let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow." Just want to challenge you this morning. And a challenge to myself. Are you still eating the bitter herbs of the world? Or have you experienced freedom? Have you been washed as white as snow? Are you under God's protection? Has God will the death angel pass over you in judgment day? Will the judgment of God pass over you in condemnation? Let's bow our heads for prayer. For those of you that can, let's stand. Kind Father, we just bow before you this morning. We thank you for this time together. Thank you for each one that's here. May we urge and encourage each other. May we learn together and grow the deeper truths of your word. Father, we are so undeserving of your great love and your grace toward us. Father, we thank you for making a way, for sending your dear Son to die for all mankind, to wash away all sins forever, if we choose to in our lives. Father, I just pray that each one of us would just make that commitment to have the blood applied. Fathers, we think of the Passover. We think of the Last Supper that Jesus had with his disciples. Before he went to the cross. Father, I pray that you would just instill in our hearts just the wonder and the power of redemption. Pray that each one of us would make that decision to walk in the newness of life, to be washed as white as snow. Father, I just pray that you would be with us as we part. Father, just give peace and protection. Father, we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.